Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank. We're going to have a rollicking hour talking about the first week of Trump's presidency. Now, he is off to a roaring good start and is making excellent use of his pen and phone. But this seems to be giving liberals and the media, but I repeat myself, fits. They can't understand why he seems to think that he can write executive actions and make things they don't like happen. They are aghast that he would have the audacity to actually use executive power. Well, welcome to our world, as that has been the painful status quo for the bulk of Obama's administration. But there is a huge difference between what Obama was doing and what President Trump is doing. Obama was misusing executive authority to change laws he didn't like. He wrote a bunch of orders on immigration that clearly changed existing laws. Now, I always seem to hear that Obama was some kind of lecturer on the Constitution, but he seems to have a very sketchy recollection of the delineation of separation of powers among the branches of our government. You see, let me give him a quick reminder. Congress writes laws. The president implements and enforces them. But Obama decided that since he didn't like the actual laws, he would simply write some rules ignoring them and say, no mas. So he tried to grant what was essentially an amnesty to illegal aliens, and with a stroke of his pen, make them what he liked to call new Americans. Well, thankfully, the Supreme Court took a look at their copy of the Constitution and threw a big old flag on the play. They said, hold up there, young fella. If you want the law changed, then go ahead and get Congress to do that. Then you can use your pen to sign it. Now that elicited howls of outrage from the usual suspects, as they saw their best chance to thwart the will of the American people go right down the pipes. Now these same folks are outraged again, but this time because President Trump is using his pen. And it's comical to watch their newfound sense of constitutional order since their guy is no longer the big kahuna. Suddenly, executive orders are wicked and immoral and probably, wait for it, unconstitutional. The even more comical and actually painful for those of us with a solid idea how our republic operates is the idea that what President Trump is doing damages our democracy. They completely ignored Obama's vast overreaches and violations of his actual executive authority, and now they want to complain when those very overreaches are reined back in. Because that is the essence of almost every action President Trump took this week. He is requiring that U.S. laws be followed and enforced. He is not legislating from the Oval Office like Obama did. He is undoing the unconstitutional actions of his lawless predecessor. So the left is now arguing that requiring the government to faithfully follow the laws that were legally enacted is somehow a threat to our entire system of government. It is gobsmackingly absurd. And yet, they are so blinded by their desire for partisan victories on the issues they care about that they are willing to flip our entire constitutional order on its head to get what they want. Well, no. We had an election, and in large part the excesses of their chosen one, were the cause of the Trump phenomenon. Previously silent groups of Americans could no longer sit by and watch as the country they love was being fundamentally transformed into a politically correct, social democratic, statist autocracy. Trump gave them a voice, and it says we want a strong and lawful America that respects its citizens, not a collection of faceless bureaucrats led by a feckless narcissist telling us they know better than we do how to live our lives. Okay, let's shift gears now from the big picture to the details. This week, President Trump said, "Heck yeah, I'm going to build that wall, so get digging." That campaign promise resonated with the majority of Americans who understand that a country without borders isn't a country. He also said that illegal aliens who commit crimes are going straight to the front of the line. And that ain't the line for citizenship. It's the line for a boot kicking them right out of the country. Now, that's not a lack of compassion for the people who came here illegally and are not committing crimes, and even contributing in some ways. It's a recognition that our policies must put legal immigrants, and more importantly, American citizens first. If there are criminals, they have to go. And if we are to be a nation state, we must protect and defend our borders. Now let's talk about another policy that should be coming very soon and is currently causing liberal heads to explode even at the thought of it. That would be a pause to immigration from areas influenced or controlled by the jihadists. Now, could there be a more common sense policy than one that says if there is a place where the bad guys who are slaughtering for their cause are dominant or pervasive, and we can't tell the good guys from the bad, then maybe we shouldn't allow folks from there to come to this country. I mean, I find it amazing that this is a controversial policy, but it would be a mistake to underestimate the ability of the liberal media propaganda complex to demagogue anything. So now they deem this a Muslim ban or a Muslim registry, as if Trump will somehow have jackbooted thugs knocking on doors to check for copies of the Quran. Nope. This is simply recognizing that we should stop importing jihadists. As Frank says, we have enough already. I mean, what country on earth can survive if it invites its enemies to come and enjoy all the fruits of that society while knowing they are planning the very extinction of its way of life? Well, we are not signers to any suicide pact. And so once again, President Trump will be returning this country to existing law that says no one other than U.S. citizens has any right to enter this country. Anyone wanting to enter must prove to us that we should let them in, and we may deny entry to anyone we deem a threat. Even more directly, the law prohibits entry for totalitarian ideologies, and in case anyone missed it, the Sharia law of the Islamists is about as totalitarian, barbarian, anti-constitutional, and anti-American as you can get. So no, you can't bring that here. Oh, and by the way, that rumbling sound you guys may hear is bombs dropping on your caliphate in Iraq and Syria, because our new Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, is not real big on leading from behind. And fortunately, neither is the new president. I think they may actually have a plan to cut down the black flag, as the book of that name, which I helped write, calls for. Our enemy is radical Islamic terrorism. And President Trump stood on the steps of the Capitol right after taking the oath of office and said, we will eliminate it. I think we can take him at his word on that. And that means killing the terrorists everywhere we can find them and making sure we don't invite anyone who supports them here. This is Jim Hansen, and we'll be back right after the break with Rosemary Jenks of Numbers USA to talk about some of President Trump's new immigration policies.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're going to talk right now with Rosemary Jenks, who is Director of Government Relations at NumbersUSA.com. And Rosemary, you guys spend your time keeping track of immigration issues and the things related to that. And I got to imagine that people are doing backflips in your organization with all of the campaign promises President Trump is delivering on and what it sounds like are a bunch more good things coming down the pike. Now, tell us a little bit about the executive orders that have been signed. Have some interesting new transparency provisions in addition to the fact that they seem to be good policy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Jim, I would start by saying that, you know, I have been working on the immigration issue for 27 years now, and this is the first time in my career that I think the American people are actually going to see what it looks like to have the laws on immigration that are in the books actually enforced. That is what we are talking about with all of these executive orders that President Trump has signed and hopefully will sign. The two that he started with are obviously his primary campaign promise, the border wall, and other issues that relate to border security particularly. He is ending the catch and release program so that illegal aliens will actually be removed from the United States rather than released into the country. The second one is interior enforcement that actually, as he promised he would do, prioritizes the removal of criminal aliens, aliens who have been convicted of additional crimes after they've come here illegally, and stopping sanctuary cities by defunding them, at least with federal funds. And, you know, that makes perfect sense. Obviously, a city or a state that is violating federal law should not expect to get federal taxpayer money. And then, as you said, these executive orders have transparency components, as do most of the ones that have not been signed yet, that are really amazing in that President Trump recognizes that in order to keep this going, he's going to have to show the American people what the real problem is. And so he's requiring the Department of Homeland Security and other involved agencies to produce reports that will be public information that will show how many criminal aliens there are in the United States, how many criminal aliens are released by sanctuary cities. All of these statistics that will basically build his case and make it clear that what he is doing is just common sense.
And that, I think that is one thing that a lot of people are missing in the frenzy and the media freak out and the liberal freak out over what President Trump is doing. He is basically just returning to enforcing our existing laws the way they were meant to be enforced. This is not some radical change other than the fact that they have not been followed. They have not been enforced. And essentially, we've allowed sanctuary cities to flout the law. We've allowed failures to actually conform to the laws of this country. So horribly, Trump's doing exactly what our lawmakers wanted.
You're absolutely right. And this is, you know, I've seen so many talking heads on the news networks saying, well, but conservatives were very upset when Obama signed executive orders on immigration. Why aren't you upset that Trump is signing executive orders on immigration? Well, the big difference is Trump's executive orders actually cite the statutes, the laws that he is going to enforce. Obama's executive orders created new law,
right,
unconstitutionally. It's a huge difference. You know, this is what it looks like to faithfully execute the laws of the United States.
Didn't he raise his right hand and say something about that recently?
Yeah, you know, weirdly he did. It seems like it was just last Friday.
Well, the nice thing is it's another Friday, and I got to tell you, I wake up every morning tickled to read what happened. Now, we're talking with Rosemary Jenks, who is Director of Government Relations at Numbers USA, a fantastic watchdog group, numbersusa.com. You can find their info. Rosemary, there's more good stuff coming down the pike, though. And one of the ones that is getting a lot of that, I guess, pushback from the media, pushback from the left, and pushback from the front groups for the Islamists is Trump's proposal to stop importing jihadists and basically put a pause on immigration from places where we cannot tell the good guys from the bad guys until at some point we can. Am I wrong about this? Is this some horrible thing and I just missed it? Or is this a way to keep America safe again?
You know, you actually described it very well, because the media reports mostly are saying, you know, Trump's Muslim ban. This is not a Muslim ban. There is nothing in it that bans Muslims. What it says is we're going to suspend immigration from countries that have that are terrorist hotspots, first of all. During that suspension, we're going to look at exactly what information we as a nation need to thoroughly vet applicants to come and live permanently in our country. And if there are countries where we can't get that information, we're not going to bring those people to the United States.
But that's horrible. How dare we decide that people, we shouldn't, A, bring terrorists in, and that we should at some point decide that maybe if there are people who absolutely don't share our values and in essence want to overthrow the order and the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy here, maybe we shouldn't invite them here.
And, you know, it's interesting because for decades we have had in the law a provision that prohibits communists and totalitarians and anarchists from coming to the United States, from being allowed into the United States. And yet, it's okay to bar those folks, but somehow it's not okay to bar people who want to blow us up. It just doesn't make any sense. So
it's absurd, and if someone ever figures out how the left managed to align itself with the most oppressive ideology currently in force on Earth, which would be, you know, Islamic supremacism, hates women, kills gays, and the left's all about it. I think that kind of cognitive dissonance is beyond my ability to rationally dissect. But now let's go on. Numbers USA tracks a lot of important things, and you've got some more things that it might be good for President Trump to do. What else is there on your wish list?
Well, you know, one of the main things that we want to see is actually something that Congress has to do, and that is why you don't see it in these executive orders, because it is, in fact, constitutional for the Congress to do this, and that is to make the E-Verify program, electronic verification program, mandatory for all employers in this country.
Amen.
Because the border wall will go a long way in making our borders secure. But the fact is that we have a lot of illegal immigrants who come here on a legal visa and then overstay. And to really deter illegal immigration, you have to take away what they're actually coming for, which in most cases is a job. So if you remove the job incentive, then many fewer will actually try to come, and we will actually be able to identify those who are here working illegally because they will not then be able to get a job.
Excuse me, that seems like such a common sense thing to do. I mean, it's not that I think a wall is a bad idea, but they are coming, as you said, for a reason. Take away the incentive, take away a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right. Well, and you know, if you look at it, realistically, the border wall is really a national security issue. You know, if you don't know who's coming into your country, you have a physical danger. The illegal immigration problem is a jobs problem. They're coming for jobs. So we need a combination of both border security, interior enforcement, and this electronic verification program, which is free for employers. It's wildly successful for those who use it. And it's easy to use. So there's no reason not to do that. And in fact, the House Judiciary Committee has passed a bill to mandate E-Verify, use of E-Verify, for the last three Congresses. So, you know, that should not be controversial at this point.
Let's hope that Paul Ryan is listening. Rosemary Jenks, Director of Government Relations at Numbers USA, thank you so much for the work you guys do and for your informed commentary. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank doing Secure Freedom Radio. Up next, we're going to talk with Kurt Schlichter after the break.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. And right now, we are going to bring in the King of Caring, retired Army Colonel, former Cav officer, Kurt Schlichter, who is now a senior columnist for townhall.com and author of Conservative Insurgency, and actually an attorney, although we're not going to hold that against him because he even uses that for the power of good. So, Kurt, welcome to Morning, Evening in America and all of the good things going on. I want to talk with you a little bit about how much fun Trump is having overturning the liberal orthodoxy. It just seems to be joyous fun for him.
Well, you know, Jim, I'm just sitting here. The birds are singing. Children are playing. Liberals are weeping. All is right with the world. It's such a beautiful time. It's late morning in America after we've slept in.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Someone's brought us coffee and French toast.
And bacon.
And bacon and a mimosa. And someone's Irished up that coffee. It's just glorious. I don't think we had any right to expect the bounty of conserva goodness that we've been delivered. It's breathtaking.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, I mean, as you mentioned, the liberal tears are flowing. The media is in full howling outrage mode. And what they're most angry about, and this has been kind of a theme of the show so far, is the fact that Trump is returning us to a lawful republic. He's requiring adherence to the laws as they are written. He's requiring adherence to the Constitution. He's doing all the things, or he's taking all the overreaches of the Obama administration and saying, I'm sorry, that was not the way we operate. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way, the American way.
And it's beautiful. Look, I'm writing my town hall for Monday. It's going to be amusing as a base, the review of Hugh Hewitt's new book, The Fourth Way. And my thesis is that, as with everything, Obama talked a big game about fundamentally transforming America, but it's Donald Trump who's doing it. Donald Trump is fundamentally transforming America, and not necessarily into the past. I think he has a radical vision of the future that includes the past, but mostly in terms of attitude, in the sense that we get back to, and you and I are old enough to remember when, you know, America was strong and respected and powerful and prosperous.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to bring that back, but he wants to do it through conservatism in a way we've never seen. Even Ronald Reagan's administration, because he faced opposition in a way that Donald Trump's not, was not nearly as conservative in policy.
So it's kind of a muscular conservatism as opposed to, say, the compassionate conservatism that was, you know, in all honesty, Democrat light.
Yeah, it was. Look, Trump, I think to a large extent, Trump is Trump's not an ideological guy. He's a common sense conservative. He likes conservative things because conservative things work. But don't make no mistake, a lot of this is revenge fueled. A lot of people voted for Trump, not because they like Trump, but because go to hell Democrats.
Right.
And I think Trump takes a lot of pleasure in doing these conservative things, not only because they'll work, and it's very important to him that they work. He's a real estate developer. He understands you've got to deliver or you lose the deal, but because it really makes people miserable. Remember when he was really inspired to run, it was that White House correspondence dinner where they were making fun of him. All these liberals got up and they were mocking him. And there's this picture of him just sitting there seething. And you can just see the wheels turning in his head going, okay, smart guy, you want to play horsey? Let's play horsey.
Like you said, he's an action guy. And I think maybe that's the big difference here is we've had a lot of government and non-leadership or leadership from behind from people who've never actually done anything, never been responsible for accomplishing something. If you decide, if you say and promise and campaign on the idea, I'm going to build a skyscraper, and in the end, there's nothing but a gaping hole in the ground where the foundation wasn't even laid, you did what Obama did. But Trump's built skyscrapers, and he's used to that methodology and that mindset that says talk's cheap, you have to actually deliver.
Exactly. I mean, look, he's talking about the wall, right? What do you say? I put the chances is about 100% that he will be down on the border within a couple months with a shovel, a little novelty shovel and a hard hat, doing the first dirt. And then I expect he will be calling in the guy from the Army Corps of Engineers and all the other people building it to bring their maps, bring their plans, come on in, brief me on the progress. You're not making it. You're fired. Bring your deputy. Bring your deputy so I'll have somebody else to yell at after I kick you out. And after he fires a couple people, they're going to get in their heads, and we're not going to be playing this, oh, well, it's going to take 20 years. He's going to find the guy who's going to do it in 10 months.
That makes sense. We're talking with Kurt Schlichter, who, as I mentioned, is the king of hashtag caring on Twitter, senior columnist for townhall.com, and author of Conservative Insurgency. And I think, Kurt, you've kind of got a handle on what I think Trump's big advantage is. But again, he may not have a huge, I don't know, opposition in Congress, but I don't know that they're fully on board yet. Now, can he bring Paul Ryan into the fold? They seem to be at least talking nice, but is this going to actually work when the votes hit the floor?
I think it will. And you've correctly identified the secondary threat, which is the Republicans. Hugh Hewitt calls them the Dean Martin Republicans. They sit around with their bourbon, laughing and joking, wearing Gucci loafers, not really focused on doing things that they promised. Remember, we're just saps and suckers to be,
exploited,
led on every 2-6 years. Don't forget about us, except we're not forgetting anymore. And Trump is going to deliver, and he's not going to let some hack from the 4th district in Wisconsin.
Watch it. Wisconsin, you got to respect Wisconsin now. Don't make me get into it. We could have
Wisconsin.
The cow argument about whose cows are better. Wisconsin's cows dominate against California's cows, buddy.
Oh, well, California's cows are notably less flatulent thanks to the climate change laws. But look, he's just simply not going to let, some senator get in the way of what he promised. And I think at some point he's going to deploy the orange sledgehammer. And, we'll see him, get a Lindsey Graham or a John McCain or one of those other, femboy hacks. And he'll show up in that guy's hand and start supporting the primary opponent. And the primary opponent's going to win. Look, these guys need to be led. They need to be led by fear.
You're talking about the country club Republicans, and they're the ones, as you mentioned,
they,
whether it's Gucci loafers or bad golf shoes, they obviously don't require that they accomplish what they say they are. But Trump's constituency was the anti-country club Republicans. It was blue-collar America. It was flyover country. It was real America. And it was people who'd been sitting out the elections and politics and watching as Obama drove the country not into a ditch, but off the cliff like Thelma and Louise. So now they're angry and they're activated. So can Trump actually wield that?
I think he can. Look, let me put it in terms that everyone can understand using the medium of Caddyshack. The the new conservatives led by Trump are Al Cervic. The pre-club Republicans are Judge Elihu Smales. Now, sure, Smales had some good points, like the world needs ditch diggers too, but in the end, everybody wants to party with Al.
Amen. Now that, I think, is the most effective analogy I have heard yet about the difference, because who among us does not love what Rodney Dangerfield, a la Al Cherik, did in Caddyshack? He kicked over the old school useless folks, and he took Chevy Chase. He took him and brought him around. He brought the good guys, the people who could make things happen, onto his side. Beautiful.
Well, if you look at Al Cherik, he reserved. He was a smart ass, and he could be nasty, but he was only nasty to the big guy. He didn't punch down.
There you go. And Trump has invited, just a la the caddies heading into the pool for Caddy Day, he invited Everyday America to the party at the country club. And I think that may be the change. I think we've got our analogy. It's the Caddyshack presidency.
Yeah, and we've left the baby Ruth floating in the pool.
it's okay. It tastes just fine. We're talking with Kirk Schlichter. This is Jim Hansen doing Secure Freedom Radio, and we will be back after the break with more dissection and advice for the Caddyshack presidents.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Kirk Schlichter is still here, and nobody is kicking the two of us out or off the air. And since we have now dubbed this the Caddyshack presidency, overturning the country club Republicans with real everyday Americans, we have another everyday American, Kirk Schlichter, senior columnist for Town Hall and author of Conservative Insurgency. So, Kurt, we've got a bunch of executive orders coming out, returning order and stopping the overreaches of the Obama administration. What else should Trump be doing next? He's got an awful lot on his plate, but give me an idea of a good everyday American-serving policy he could jump into.
Well, look, I like what he's doing. He rolls out one thing a day and does it, and gets the credit for it, and then also drives the news media insane.
Which is fun to watch.
Well, exactly. Remember, half of Al Cervic's fun in Caddyshack was making Judge Smales go nuts, and that's what he's doing with the media. Even as, you know, he says, I'm undoing all of Obama's illegal immigration orders. Oh, and all you media guys are liars! Look, John Lewis, remember John Lewis? Picks a fight with Trump. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of like, yeah, okay, John Lewis is a Democrat, but, you know, civil rights, okay, probably a good guy. So he picks this fight. Trump comes back at him, and I thought in a restrained manner. The media goes nuts. What's the end result? No one thinks less of Trump, because all the people who hate him already hate him. But a lot of us take a second look and say, okay, I'll look closer, take a second look and see that John Lewis is now, 50 years later, just another Democrat hack, maybe even worse than some Democrats. Oh, and he's a liar, too, because he always skips Republican inaugurations. Well, John Lewis comes out net worse for the fight, and Trump's all the same.
One of the first things I heard about Trump from a Trump supporter was that Trump fights. And that's something that has been so lacking in the Republican Party, because country club Republicans are too nice to fight. They take the high road, and the Democrats have been street fighting. They've been bringing guns to knife fights. They've been bringing nuclear weapons to the Constitution. And a Republican Party has just been taking it for far too long. They were scared to shut down the government. They were scared to do anything. Trump's like, no. And if you recall, Rodney Dangerfield, Al Cervic, and Caddyshack was willing to fight back. When he saw Judge Smales' boat in the water, what's the first thing he did? He took the Cervic yacht and he headed straight towards him. That's what Trump has done.
I know. This is, you know, Donald Trump is a rejection of the Spaldings of the Republican Party.
they will get no hot dog, no popcorn. They'll get nothing and like it.
It's so wonderful to see somebody up there right again. Well, that's what Republicans wanted. They're sick of taking it. Trumpism is less policy than attitude. And if you're on social media, which I am every once in a while, you see it. There are people out there who go, look, I didn't like Trump, but I voted for him for revenge.
And good enough, because if things are going that wrong, then taking revenge against what was wrong is the right thing to do. And the idea that has been, you know, the Republican way for so long, that, well, we should be the conservative, we're not going to overturn anything. Well, when things are that bad and you're not overturning them, you're doing a disservice. And now we've returned what was a core constituency of what should be the greater Republican Party, blue-collar workers. We've returned them to the fold, and we've given them a voice. And now they've got an advocate in the White House.
Yeah, look, I mean, Trump brings in a bunch of union leaders.
Yeah.
And the union leaders walk out going, he treated us with respect. Democrats treat us as just another bunch of hacks, you know, to be paid off. The thing is, Trump grew around guys in the construction trades. He knows these guys. He likes these guys. These guys literally built America. You go to a union hall, and you're going to find half the guys there fought everywhere from Quezon to Fallujah. You go to one of Obama's faculty lounge, and it's like, ew, gross, baby killers.
Right. They protested every war from the Revolution to Fallujah.
Exactly.
Well, I think we've got the analogy laid out, and we've got the rationale for why people like Trump. So can he actually now return the jobs? Because he seems to have been throwing down the gauntlets to corporations saying, this whole idea of offshoring your jobs and the rest of it, you might want to take another look at doing manufacturing in the United States. Are we going to become a manufacturing powerhouse again?
I think we're going to definitely go up. I don't think we're going to become the America of yesterday, but that's not what Trump's about. Trump's about the America of tomorrow.
Nice.
That brings in the feel of yesterday in the sense of America as a powerful, strong, respected, and underline and bold this normal state. That's the normal state for America. What we've been going through the last 20 years is weird.
Yeah.
He wants to create something really that's new, but with an old attitude. I have heard secondhand, obviously I haven't been there, from people who've been around Trump when he's dealing with these CEOs, that first of all, he is absolutely on top of the facts in a way the media will never tell you. That he can talk about, you know, details of plant capacity in the U.S. and outside, and where are you going to have jobs? And he's interrogating these guys. He's saying, you know, you want to do this deal, you're going to move jobs from there. I went to that factory and shook those people's hands.
Right.
I went to that factory and looked them in the eyes and shook their hands and promised them, you are not making me a liar. And you know, I've been told that's what he's doing. And while maybe that, you know, at some level in my free market, Adam Smith conservative ideology, that's not exactly what I always wanted. It's a lot better than rolling over and giving up.
Yeah, Al Chervik's yacht didn't turn 90 degrees, all right? The ship of state requires that you push a little hard to get the boat going the other direction. It's going pretty much the opposite direction it should. So consequently, I think it's fair to go ahead and push the, as you mentioned, the free market a bit, as long as he doesn't go interventionist in a way that turns into, you know, more statist control. I think intimidation and bully pulpit action from the president is a great thing. You know, a few threats here and there may convince these corporations to do the right thing, which is what we want. We want them to do it. We don't want the government telling them they have to and using state power.
Keep in mind, you and I probably would not be talking like this 2 years ago. We have changed because we're more open to this. And the reason we have changed is we have been faced with new facts, new evidence that have required us to reconsider our position. That we have gone through a process on the conservative side that has moved us away from our strict ideology. We've gone through a process of looking at ourselves, and we are more open to change. The Democrats, on the other hand, have doubled down on their failure.
I hope they continue. That's the one thing we can at least rely on the freak out of the left to drive more voters to that concept. And I think you've hit on one of the key pieces here is it's not smart to have ideology. It's smart to have ideas. And I think Trump's not an ideologue. He doesn't have an ideology that he's going to follow strictly. He has ideas that he thinks are going to work. And some of those aren't conservative. Some of them are unconservative. But if they do something that ends up making America a better place, I'm going to let him try.
Look, guys who are not ideological are risky, and you never quite know where they're going to come down. Trump is conservative enough. I have a pretty good idea. He's usually going to do something fairly conservative, and if it isn't conservative, it's at least pro-American.
And that's good enough.
Yeah, well, look, right now I'm taking what I've got. I've got the most conservative cabinet we've ever seen.
Oh, it's powerful.
I mean, my God, Mad Dog.
I know.
You know, is everything how I would have liked it if I had read about it in National Review 2-5 years ago? No, it's not. But is it a million times better? Who is the Republican besides Trump who would have had a more conservative and more successful administration?
We'd have ended up with Jeb Bush losing to Hillary Clinton if we had followed the old school country club Republican way, and we would be in hell right now. Well, Kurt, we're going to have to wrap it up there. It is Friday. Thank you, Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist for Town Hall. This is Jim Hansen. That's going to wrap up a rousing hour of Secure Freedom Radio. Frank will be back next week. Enjoy your weekend, America.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.